Hello everybody, this is Chandradasa at the Buddhist Centre online, thebuddhistcentre.com, with another podcast edition. And this week, wish we had a drum roll, Elizabeth, we're in Cambridge, in the UK, with Winterhorse Publications, who are our Buddhist publisher in Triratna, and I think ploughing a very brave and, in a way, quite radical furrow, bringing out new Buddhist books in a market that is not easy to conquer, and certainly not easy to master and stay the master of. And they're doing a sterling job, and we've got them gathered here today to tell us what's coming up in the next year, which is all very exciting. So do you want to each say hello, starting with?
Hello, it's Priyananda here. I'm director at Windows Publications.
And I'm Michelle. I'm publishing controller.
Hello, I'm Hannah. I'm publishing assistant.
Yay. And this team has been, I think, doing something quite amazing, quietly in the background, steadily for a couple of years, just in a way taking Windows Publications, which was an old, venerable brand, and really dragging it into the digital world and doing something quite exciting with publishing. The last time we met and talked, you had some new books coming out. How did they do?
Well, they've done very well. The three new books are Not About Being Good by Subhadramati, and Vimalasara's and Paramabandhu's book Eight Step Recovery, and Analio's Perspectives on Satipatthana. All three of those have done really well in the last year. I mean, we can say more about what we've learned from
I was just process. That was my question, was what have you learned? Because it's quite a new digital approach for these books, if I remember.
I mean, we've learned more from marketing, very much from Eight Step Recovery, but from the others as well, about just doing more marketing, more online, getting out to magazines.
And we've also got a very dynamic author in Vimalasara who does a huge amount with her own fan base, which we've realised is a really important factor in the promotion of the book, and so we're looking at involving more of our authors with the marketing promotion.
Yeah, and that is quite a kind of current strategy, isn't it? This kind of digital fan base, which I know we'll come back to later in a way, but anything else from the new books in terms of the online versions or the e-books?
Yeah, the e-books are doing really well. I've been converting the backlist, and we've finished now, basically. We haven't uploaded the last tranche, but the new books as well are all in ebook. And, of course, we're now doing our own DRM-free ebooks sold from our website, as well as the other versions from all the e-tailers.
Well, I think the ebooks, also, we found that sales of ebooks are virtually half of what the print sales are. So, and sometimes there are more. Depending on the title, it seems that some titles attract more digital sales. But some of our long-standing workhorses, like Change Your Mind by Paramananda, you know, he sells as many digital e-books as it does print. Yeah. So it's a very popular book. And so we're finding that, and actually our total title sale has gone up year on year. So digital sales aren't cannibalising the print sales. So the evidence is also the same from the industry generally, that's the case.
And what about the whole kind of social media side? I mean, is the brand, is the brand getting out there? Do people know Winterhorse Publications now in a way they didn't before? Have you got new channels?
Well, I hope so. We're always interested in people getting involved and contributing their own thoughts and their own feedback on what we're doing, and you can contribute to our blog and on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and of course, Online, which is a great channel. So, yeah, we're putting stuff out there and always looking for people to contribute as well.
And Hannah does really regular, really good e-newsletters through MailChimp with, you know, quizzes, surveys, prizes, competitions, so it's all, you know, engaging.
Yeah, we've been sharing your stuff on Tumblr actually, and people really like it. It's, I think for a lot of people, they're just not even aware that there are small Buddhist publishers. They've probably heard of one or two, like Wisdom. They might know Wisdom Books in the States, but you know, just we put out your posts and we see them come through, and people like them and share them.
Oh,
all
good.
That kind of stuff is great. Have you been surprised by anything about this kind of new foray into digital publishing? Anything come up from it that you weren't expecting, or pleasantly or otherwise?
Yeah, I think the uptake in some books has been surprising, yeah. That we didn't think there'd be so many sales of some of the books. Some don't sell. I think the more committed books, shall I say, like Analio's books, they don't attract so many digital sales, but the introductory books definitely do. I mean, that's a lesson that we've learned. I think if people are doing a committed study of a text, and it's a big book, then they like to get the print book. That's the lesson we're learning so far. Mm.
So what's the next stage for all this? Because we've been talking a little bit off mic about the future with Wintour. So, you know, where do you see it going, building on this kind of digital strategy?
Well, one area we've been doing in the last year, which is book sponsorship. This worked pretty well with 8-Step Recovery, and we're going to be doing it with 4 new titles that are coming out in the next year, including Vardika's book, The Buddha on Wall Street, What's Wrong with Capitalism and What We Can Do About It. We're going to be looking for book sponsorship for this and the other titles. And it's something that we're doing in our own little way that other publishers are doing in a bigger way, which is getting sponsorship. Because of the reduced capital in publishing businesses, we need to get money in other ways, which is sponsorship, which in a way is going back to an old model in publishing.
And reduced capital is because reduced profit. Yeah. You make less money on your books than you would have in the old world.
So the new model is that we're asking readers to back books more, to sort of get behind the book before it's actually come out in the world.
Huh.
Yeah, so we're really keen to do that.
And this is why you need successful social media strategies, presumably, so that people get to hear about what is a big opportunity for them.
The crowdfunding and those aspects,
And it's quite a good deal as well for people who donate at the moment. If you donate £30 or over, you get,
basically 3 e-books. You get the 2 that you sponsored and an extra one. And if you donate £100, you get the print book as well when it's reprinted.
Mm.
So that's the promotion we're doing on funding our reprints of titles that are out of stock.
Mm.
So that's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And will new books follow kind of similar model when you're crowdfunding for this?
Yes, that's the idea. We're modelling it on what, as I say, many other publishers are doing.
Mm.
Same sort of thing. It's involvement, getting them involved. They're still making a donation, but they're getting something for their donation.
That's true.
I think the model is bringing the reader and the author closer together. That's what's happened over the last few years in a way that hasn't happened ever before. It can't happen so that any reader around the world can sort of be more in communication with the author. And most authors want to be in communication with their readers.
Most
authors. Not all.
I'm not going to ask you who's on your books who doesn't want to be in communication. Yeah. But
perhaps some authors are more introvert than extrovert. But anyway, most are very happy to sort of be involved in the process. And it's very fascinating, you know, it's very interesting that that's happened.
I suppose in time you're going to, you know, there is this thing, there's going to be a bigger and bigger alliance between the reader and the publisher and the reader and the author. And it sort of reminds me a bit just the sort of Dickensian thing, where you can get somebody who's a trusted publisher and a trusted writer, and the audience will subscribe to their work regularly because they just, you know, there's that relationship where they know they're getting something of value.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that that's what you've been building up, is or rebuilding at Wintour, is this kind of stock that allows for that.
And you can put out books that might not have such a mass market appeal as well, if you've got that support for them from the fans funding the crowdfunding.
Hmm.
So it's really quite an amazing thing.
Yeah. That's a really important point. It's that in a way publishing's gone full circle back to the early 19th century, where it's it's actually more of a more sort of local involvement. And we have advantages in being so small as a small publisher compared to the big publishers. We can be light on our feet in terms of change.
That's right. You don't have to support a giant glass building in the middle of London or something.
And I think, you know, the other area to mention is content. We're really looking, you know, always looking for new authors, new books, new approaches. And there's a need for it. I mean, there's a need out there for people to have new Dharma books that are really addressing contemporary issues, as well as, you know, looking deep into practice. There's a sort of like a Buddhist activist aspect, which I think we could have more writing on, as well as more writing on the deep aspects of practice, whether it's ethical practice or meditation.
Hmm. So here you go, you've got an audience. What would your pitch be to budding writers out there who are interested in the Dharma or Buddhism or Tratna Buddhism? What would you... Give me your elevator pitch, Prenanda, or anyone, Michelle, Hannah, your elevator pitch.
New authors.
Yeah, in a way, what's your encouragement as publishers who love Dharma books? What is it you want to say to to people who are thinking of writing books?
I think writing from your passion and your real commitment to something.
Yeah, no, I just agree, you know, from, you know, really something they believe in.
Mm.
You know, these are the books that are going to do well. These are, like, the new books that have done well. You know, it's something that they really believed in, like Eight Step Recovery, you know, for addiction, or Vardika's book, you know, or Buddhist Meditation, you know, the new edition by Carmela Shuler. It's like something they really, really believe in.
Mm. So you do what you love, can you?
Yeah,
absolutely. You can see it very much with Vardika's book on economics. It's something he's believed in from when he was a very young man, you know, about the social equality and equitable distribution of wealth, and it really, and that's come together with his Dharma practice, and you've got this really passionate exposition in one book.
Yeah. And the world seems quite open to that discourse at the moment again. It's come around again, isn't it? Where the things he's got to say are definitely in vogue. People are interested.
Yeah, the banking crisis.
And I suppose the other thing that was on my mind about authors is the next generation of writers, the young writers. Presumably, you're interested in the new, not just the kind of people who've been practicing for a long time, but there must be people with new Dharma ideas. And
absolutely, yeah. And in a way, it's encouraging all levels of it, too. Mm. From, you know, the level of introductory books and books on engagement of Buddhism in the world, as well as something that's more scholarly. I mean, there is an emerging generation of new Buddhist scholars who are writing and translating, and there's Anaglio and others have pointed out there's an enormous amount still to be translated from the Asian texts, from the Asian ancient Buddhist texts. So there's that whole spectrum from introductory to scholarly. Yeah.
Well, it's great that you, in a way, you're light on your feet enough so that you can consider that range of, like, new Dharma books by practicing Buddhists today who may make a connection with you through social media, etc., and scholarly folk who want to translate texts. I mean, a lot of publishers, I suppose, can't do that range these days because they've got a very particular market that they're trying to hit.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, thanks all for your time. Great to hear what's happening at Winterhorse. I think we'll just do this regularly as a kind of, not quite Winterhorse weekly, but let's see, Winterhorse quarterly or something, where we get to updates from you about what's going on.
Yeah,
because it seems like a brilliant thing, and I know a lot of people out there on the internet and internet land appreciate having new Dharma books to kind of invest in.
Great.
And they'll love it. So where should they go to hear more about these new opportunities for your new books?
Just go straight to our website, which is winterhorsepublications.com. And if you're interested in sponsoring a book, it's winterhorsepublications.com/sponsor_a_book.
Okay, winterhorsepublications.com. Let's do that. /sponsor_a_book.
Sponsor a book.
Yeah. Well, we'll stick the link up on the podcast. And we'll be back with another podcast very soon. But thanks again to Winterhorse Publications, to Hannah, Michelle and Prenanda.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep, that's great.